We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's WTIC. So that Mario is amazing, isn't he? Mario Loyola. That was a good conversation, don't you think? 860-522-9842. Anthony, remember this one?
Ned Lamont's.
Wait a sec. Gotta turn it up.
Ned Lamont's new campaign ditty.
You can't touch this.
Look, we're doing this to keep you safe.
Remember that? Oh, that's... I just stumbled on that today. It was like it 5 years ago. It just popped at me and said, wow, where did that come from? That's great. Gonna play that in a little while. Bill and Granby. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Todd. Great conversation between you and Mario. And so... What kills me about politics and about governance in this country is that the Republican, the RTC, and think tanks like Mario are funded with hundreds of millions of dollars, and they serve in perpetuity. So the knowledge that they have because of their focus and the fact that they do serve in perpetuity and they don't swap out every 2 or 4 years like elected officials do, the big brains like Mario that are in charge of those think tanks, They know exactly what's broken. They could create dossiers if they wanted to for the Republican Party. The Republican Party could help work on the platforms and the dossiers. And whenever a Republican president is elected or a Libertarian president, they could just hand them a dossier and say, here's a menu of 5 different plans. All you have to do is unwind these few things and watch the economy roar. Now, they don't do that. None of them ever do that. I don't understand. Well, because the RTC doesn't, they're not really interested in unwinding the bureaucracy.
Well, hang on a sec. First of all, the beauty of having educated people like Mario in these positions is exactly so that the information does get out, so we can hear him speak. When you hear the word spoken, the explanations that are inside of his sentences, it crystallizes a lot of things, and it makes clear this notion of what the rigging of a system is all about. That's all politics is about, is how do you leverage people to support you? It's about how do you rig things. So it's important for us to understand it. If he worked in government, then he'd be on the side of the con men who want to keep the truth from us. So it's really important he's on our team. Second, everything he knows and is for the purposes of writing about it and communicating it. So Republicans can tell the truth if they choose to, and they can find compelling messages inside of what he's delivering. But the first thing is for us to understand, so we start creating pressure, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's all true. And the reason the Republicans don't want to bring it to light is because it's self-preservation, because they are a political animal, right? So that's another reason why Trump was such an existential threat, because Trump came in and basically took he had the knowledge that Mario has, and without really talking about it much, he started unraveling government. And even with the federal contracts and the unions and all of the legislation and protections that he was not able to impact, the little bit of nibbling around the edges that he was able to do through executive orders and otherwise, even though he didn't have the support of his party, caused him to be on a trajectory for 30% growth at the last quarter before the pandemic. So that just goes to show you that even without automating the ports and even without unwinding in a big way, just nibbling around the edges creates profound growth.
Yeah. Well, it's not just nibbling. I don't know about those numbers you're giving out, but the point is, in that hour, we heard two people who were laying out very clearly and in a practical, believable, credible, clear way that anybody can understand how those who run for office are running for the opportunity to work on the team of plunderers who rob us blind. And anybody who's not understanding government this way just hasn't done enough research on it. There's just so much to learn. Ricardo, hi.
Hi. I'm pointing the finger directly at the Teamsters and all the other related trade unions working together with the Washington hoodlums. All right, this whole thing about the ships offshore is beautifully designed. All right, they're not making in big bucks now, but pretty soon there'll be a tsunami of work that comes in. And as the Teamsters right now even admit, they don't have enough truck drivers. They don't have enough longshoremen, warehousemen, et cetera, et cetera. Nor do any of the other unions to handle this tsunami of jobs and money that's going to pile in. Now, 45 years ago, I paid $500 for initiation fees to be a new member of the Teamsters. I don't know where it is now, $1,000, $15, $2,000. Somebody could call in and tell you. Multiply that times hundreds of thousands of jobs, that union jobs, that this is all going to create. The money is mind-boggling, not to mention or not to forget the union dues that are paid every month forever. They never stop. So you could see.
Yeah, we know all this. You're telling us what we know, Ricardo. The important part is to bring it to another level. This is what the government is doing. Who invented unions? That's government that did that. Government
right.
designed the laws that let unions have the power that they have in order to be able to conspire with the unions to rig elections.
Right down the line. We already know that. You've said it countless times over the
I can't say it enough because it takes a while to sink in for people, but thank you.
Right, but you've said it plenty of times, but people got to realize the tsunami's coming. The jobs are coming this way real soon for the unions, and they're going to make billions off of it.
Well, except that one of the things that Mario said is that they're so dumb, and they get so, I think his implication was, they get locked in place by their own policies, and they miss huge opportunities. So, for example, all this cargo that is going on trains, on rail up the coast of California instead of on boats, is a huge loss to those industries and presumably to those unions. But the union might be so big it doesn't care. It figures if it doesn't get them on with the left hand, it gets the money with the right. Thank you, Ricardo. Good to hear from you. George and Vernon. Hi, George.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
What's up?
Not too much. Very conversation here with Mario there. Very interesting, and I agree with a lot of his points. Although something caught my ear when you were talking to him. You had asked them about why these laws can't, some of these laws and rules can't be changed. And he had mentioned it's the lobbyists. And then you had mentioned then the public or the people need a stronger lobbying firm or lobbyists than that. Isn't that what our Congress is for?
Congress is supposed to take care of protecting us from the government, and they're not doing their job. They use their position to protect them from us.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, if these people are being influenced by the lobbyists, and you had mentioned that there should be a stronger lobbyist for the people of the country, our Congress are supposed to be the lobbyists for the people, not the lobbyists.
But
for Congress.
Yes, we don't have that. And that's what got lost along the way. I assume, George, it happened, thank you for the call, with the professionalizing of, you know, these, nobody in politics should get paid for holding an office. I think that would be the best way to fix this. You look at New Hampshire as the only New England state with you know, with any vestiges of small government. And they've done that because they there just isn't enough money. They get paid $100 a year to be a representative of the people. And I think as soon as you start giving $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, or like in Connecticut where they make $28,000 a year, but they can make more on this with other things, and they can have their keep their business going and use the position to enhance the flow of money into their business, then it gets even more slippery too. Dave in Brantford, hi.
Todd, I'd like to follow up on Rob Sampson. That was one of the better segments on election rigging. I'd like to contribute my sense. The state is rapidly, everywhere there's a high harvest percentage of Democrat voters to be had. And the three that come to mind, when you interact with the Department of Motor Vehicles, with all the new immigrants getting driver's licenses and all the teenagers getting their first license, there's a high Democrat sign-up percentage. And so they do that automatically. They're trying to get you to sign automatically.
Yes.
When you have a social service interaction, and they're working assiduously to make voter sign-up a part of a graduation requirement as a proper civic citizen coming out of high school. Do we call that election rigging? No. Denise Merrill says a good citizen signs up to vote. But I want you to notice, if you get a gun license or a hunting license or a fishing license, a home improvement contractor, any of the professions like a doctor, lawyer, realtor, notary public, package store owner, the state has no interest in cross-checking to make sure you're a voter. And the question is, I wonder why, and it's because they have a lower propensity to sign up to be a Democrat. And I might further add that when you go zip code hunting for a class of citizen like the banks do for mortgages or the insurers do for insurance, well, that's against the law. We call it redlining. But that's exactly what the Dems do when they go after these automatic voter sign-up plots, which may not be illegal, but it's clearly election rigging. It makes them hypocrites. We need to point it out.
Well, they're hypocrites because they're in politics. That's definitional. But I agree with everything else you said.
I appreciate that you let me say it.
Thank you, Dave. Good to hear from you, as always. 860-522-9842. Quick break. We'll take more phone calls coming up on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
It's WTIC. So we were talking last hour with first Rob Sampson and then Mario Loyola. Guy is amazing. And he painted a good picture of just how corrupt the government is and how it got corrupted, like what the mechanisms are. This is why people don't get me with my obsession over unions. But it's not about whether unions are good or bad in terms of you or your life or your family member who belongs, or because you got some retirement out of it. It's a question of whether it's good for the state. Is it good for the state to be $150 billion of debt, to have 30% of the budget each year covering debt, largely debt that comes from having made commitments to the unions and a commitment to put the money away every year to pay for those commitments and then never to put the money away? That's government for you, because they think short term. They want your votes. They're not going to win your votes by putting money in the bank to cover the cost of the retirements for the union deals that they corruptly sign. No, they want to spend the money now so they can run around talking about the beautiful things they built for you. Oh, we're on the right track, aren't we? Aren't we on the right track? Ned, we on the right track?
Because I think the state made extraordinary progress.
Extraordinary. Because Ned did such a great job expanding the power of the unions and how much money they take. Mike in Canton, hi.
Hi, Ted. I just want to expand a little bit on something that Mario brought up, is the problems with the trucking industry. I currently drive a truck in Connecticut. And one of the kind of the, I don't know, like the redheaded stepchildren of the industry is the proliferation of recreational marijuana now. It's 19 states across the nation. When you drive a truck, you have to have a commercial driver's license. And one of the contingencies of a CDL is that you have to have an annual physical, or worst case, a semi-annual physical. but you're not going to pass the drug test. And if you have an accident as a CDL driver, you are immediately subject to drug testing, whether there's an injury involved to you or somebody else or not. So with the proliferation of legalized recreational marijuana, you're getting people who don't want to be in the trucking industry, who don't want to drive trucks. You've made it so readily available.
You're shrinking the pool of people who are available to become truck drivers.
The pool. Listen, I'm not anti-marijuana, but I'm just saying, like it or not, and it's nothing I don't think that government can fix.
No, that's a really interesting point. That's a great point.
Doing business in the world. You make it more available, you're going to shrink that pool of candidates, at least in 19 states. And I happen to know people here in Connecticut that are that specifically are not going into the industry because of that. Food for thought.
That's fascinating. No, that's marijuana for thought, I think, even.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
There you go.
Appreciate it. Wow, how about that point? That's a good point, isn't it? Gene in Harwinton. Hi, Gene.
Todd Feinberg, good afternoon.
I did it again. I said hi, Gene.
That's okay. It keeps us clean.
Yes, it does.
Well, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, I do a lot of reading in my life, and I happen to think this supply chain and the things that are all screwed up, this is not the first time in history this has happened. If you turn the page back to the days of FDR and Eisenhower and them kind of guys, this supply chain problem came up way back in the end of the Second World War and during the Second World War. And what FDR and Winston Churchill did was they went to the mob and they said, we can't afford to have these things all screwed up. We need your help to go things go smoothly. Well, guess what? They never had a problem after that. These guys
Gene, the problem was that the mob was making the disruptions happen. So they went to the mob, made a deal to stop the disruptions. Like that, huh? Ed in Wallingford, what's up, Ed?
Hey, hi, Todd. Look, I've been a union member for many years, and I was never happy. I was a member of the United Steelworkers, and most recently, until retirement, a member of AFSCME. They would send out that propaganda to vote for Democrats. So much of my dues went to pay that. I can't believe it. And they make you jump through hoops if you don't want your dues to pay for political campaigns.
Yes. It's very corrupt. The whole thing is corrupt. It's gross what you just described. Thank you for that, Ed. Jonathan West Hartford. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Nice show.
Well, thank you.
One point I wanted to make is that recently I had an issue with a driver's license, and I went for the renewal, but I had to aspect some stuff with someone actually in person. And they said, would you like to get yourself registered as a Democrat? And at the end, I says, well, oh, yeah, we can register you right now. I says, well, can I register as anything? Oh, yeah, you can. It could be Republican or it could be independent. So I said I would register as an independent. And at that time, it seemed like it felt very cold with the person I was talking to because they were trying to push one party versus the other in their brief interaction. It was a matter of 30 seconds.
Yep. And, well, that's pretty interesting.
Well, not only that is they said, are you a U.S. citizen? I said, yes, I am. And how do I prove that? They didn't ask me for a birth certificate or anything. And that scared me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, you're at the DMV. Maybe you had just presented them with documents or something?
No, I presented them with the fact that my license had been stolen, actually, from my wallet was stolen, the whole thing. So they may have had stuff in the computer, but they said, well, do you want to register to vote? But if I had a license, did they know that I could actually be registered to vote?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what the answer is to that, Jonathan, but thank you for raising it. 860-522-9842. Well, I'm glad we got so much response to that interview because I thought it was awesome, too. We're going to have another good one coming up. Chris Healy will be here from the Connecticut Catholic Conference.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I'm excited that, I really am, that Mario Loyola created so much feedback and provoked thinking. Because that was the sensation I got talking to him, that this was a guy who really knew a lot of stuff. And that it would be impactful to hear. So thank you for the feedback. 860-522-9842. Rant line number 751-4698. And joining us now is Christopher Healy. Wait a sec. Where did my little... Hang on. I've got to move a little tab here on my screen or nothing's going to work correctly. Chris Healy is with the Weathersfield Board of Education, joins us now on WTIC. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Todd. It's mid-November, and it's almost 60 degrees. Here's to global warming. So,
I wish it would be more consistent, though. I'm looking for waterfront property. I'm looking for suntan lotion at the, you know, right out there in front of your face at the store in January. That's what I'm looking for.
I'm all with you all the way.
So it was a busy we heard a lot about the education issue and the impact it made in Virginia and how that might be a driving force as we move forward in terms of voter interest. You're doing local education. What do you see?
Well, thanks for having me on. I think for people that saw what happened in Virginia, I think it's fair to say, and it should be, that the issue of education shouldn't just be limited to what we are seeing and parents discovering what's being taught in the schools, whether it's critical theory related to race or critical theory related to gender, or those, all the other sort of poisonous dogmas that are here. They're in curriculum in Connecticut, and people are finding out about it. But I think there's a bigger issue here, and I think it overstates the obvious, and that's what radio is for, to overstate the obvious. And I'm not a particularly bright guy, but I do see the obvious, and that is parental rights. And parental rights in education in Connecticut is particularly acute because COVID, as you know, Todd, really gave parents a window, literally a window on their laptops, of seeing what their children were being taught and the level of instruction, the kind of instruction they were receiving. And in many cases, they were satisfied, but in a lot of cases, they weren't, whether they were primary or secondary or high school, secondary level kids. And that it got many parents who thought they were engaged with their children even more upset and more curious. And that has led to a lot of activism at around the state of Connecticut, people I talk to. And they're not going to quit asking questions about the issues that we talk about all the time. But it's more importantly, how do we as a society in Connecticut get our kids not only caught up from the year and a half of lost learning, but really focused again on the sort of achievement goals that are needed to have children be productive, be inquisitive, and to be ready to enter a world, a global economy that needs more engineers and more, computer scientists and more coders than it does psychology majors. And I'm not trying to put down psychology majors, but, you know, that's where the market is, and that's where real good-paying jobs and good careers are, and we need to be promoting those things through our educational systems.
Are you saying that isn't already happening?
Well,
like that problem hasn't been dealt with?
Well, I think more needs to be done because you already hear, you talk to anyone in the business community, this has been going on for a long time, 10 years now, the lack of skilled people who are proficient in certain math, they need to be adequate in all kinds of technology areas. Here we have a huge technology industry, military industry, which requires component parts and all sorts of things where math is really key. And what's happened over the last year and a half is we now have seen the lost learning. So math scores are down 20, 30 points in many communities, even worse than others. And my point being is to get these kids back to proficiency requires a debate of what's going on in schools, and parents need to be involved. And that will be an issue in 2022, along with, ripping out this critical race theory nonsense, which, again, gets in the way of real learning and obviously divides us along racial, ethnic, and gender lines. So I think there's going to be a huge amount of interest. There should be. And it's not even a Republican or Democratic issue because, listen, my background, but there are many Republicans who are very comfortable, have been comfortable with this status quo and aren't willing to step up. And I know there are a lot of Democrats who don't fall into the predictable lines of wokeness. So this is a time where whoever's running for governor, who's running for legislature, needs to put it on the line to say, look, parents' rights matter, that we need to break up this bureaucracy in Hartford, the education monopoly. We need to have a school choice option, a school choice for Catholic schools, for charter schools, for any kind of school that provides kids with a real adequate, robust education and stops rewarding or stops promoting failed school districts and gives people in those school districts, start with them. Start with the worst performing school districts and have them offer a choice mechanism where they can sing,
It is. It's the key to everything. And it's only in a system that is the most important of all, educating children, that we have abandoned the one system we know works best at creating excellence and finding the greatest number of solutions for the largest number of people. And that is a market-driven system. And why is it we have a rigged system, a one-size-fits-all system for the most important project that we work at, educating children and making them ready for, to super perform in the adult world? But I don't know how we begin to have that conversation because everyone's so dug in on their policies.
You begin to have it by electing people that really want to turn over the card. I mean, the Constitution of the state requires an education for every child, but it doesn't necessarily say it must be a public education without any other form of engagement. That's the point. I mean, and most parents, the most important thing they do in the morning when they put their kid on that bus is to say, is my child going to be safe? Is he going to be he or she going to be in an environment where they can learn and come back excited about school or wanting to learn more? I mean, that's the optimum. And I will tell you, most teachers are engaged in it and they want to do the thing, but they are subject to the same bureaucratic, monolithic pressures from the Department of Education and their handmaidens in the nonprofit world that require them to teach, or to initiate the themes of critical race theory and the themes of gender dysphoria and all this other stuff. And we really need to empower those teachers and that really want to do the right thing. And we need to get at the root cause, which is the legislative intent, the regulations, and the bureaucracy, which runs the show. And the way you do that, obviously, is you have to have people elected that are willing to change it. I'll just make a quick point about this. Glenn Youngkin said at the end of his campaign that if he had made him governor, he would tear out critical race theory root and branch. And I think that was a critical component in a lot of the turnout, is mostly because parents have been given the shrug, have been given double talk. And as you saw in Loudoun County, I mean, just outright fraud and criminal neglect. And I think, you know, in Connecticut, I'm not saying that that sort of thing happens. I won't say that, you know, as I have any evidence, but what has become a monopoly, when you're in a monopoly, you become very comfortable with your own rightness. And when you're protected at every level of government, there's no accountability, zero. Parents have to be accountable as well. They're critical in this. You just can't say, well, it's all left on the teachers. But you see parents now even more engaged than before because COVID required them to really take control of their children's education. That's a good thing. And so to build on
yes.
that,
that's a good point. That was a wake-up moment. We're talking to Chris Healy from the Weathersfield Board of Education. But what I'm driving at is that if you're somebody who walks your kid to the end of the driveway in the morning to wait for the bus and puts them on the bus and goes to all the events and is involved with the school, you're involved emotionally with where your child goes to school, and you're invested in that. And if people run around saying, watch out, there's a movement out there that is trying to dismantle your school. They want to take the money away from the school that little Bobby goes to. That's a really powerful thing to break through, especially when we have right now one school system and that they've got control over people's minds and hearts. I'm just looking for a way to break through on that, like some.
Well, part
because
of the issue,
to me, it's obvious if you could give everyone a gift certificate and they could bring that to any education institution of any kind with them as the determining party, then you would have a revolution. And it's one that America needs, of great education and much more productive kids growing up to be more productive adults.
Yeah, I mean, in my town, Weathersfield, we're doing things like we're hiring extra math tutors, and we are investing in the sort of catch-up that we need, and we're trying to do the things that we need to do. And, you know, the kids are responding well, the parents and teachers are responding well. I mean, we have a lot more to do, and I think a lot of school districts feel that way. But when you get right down to it, though, we need to always be more. We need to constantly demand more of everyone and not settle for what becomes the sort of droning, requirements of state bureaucracies. And if you're in a town, let's just say you're in a zip code of a town where the school district isn't doing its job, you're trapped there as a public school parent. You're trapped there. You have to, and if you don't have the ability to pick up and sell your house or move, you're stuck. And so, you know, the question becomes, well, if my tax is going to pay for a school that's not performing, what redress do I have? Can I take 70% of my taxes locally, property taxes, or pay for education? And that applies almost to every town in the state. So whether you have children in the school district or grandchildren in the school district, your tax dollars are still invested in that product. And that's why I think if the candidates who are running next year, regardless of party, are in tune with that, I think it's the issue, along with all the other issues that we're tangling with inflation.
But you see an opportunity right now because of what we've been through. Is that what you're saying? That this is
exactly.
This is the time,
I mean,
to start.
The opportunity is lining up where people are evaluating. And, you know, the other parts of what are going to come out next year, and I'll give you a quick example about inflation. You know, I know we didn't want to shift the economy, but inflation and the, you're talking about the disruption of the supply chain. Let me give you another little insight into this and how it also affects education. Because of the disruption of the supply chain that our good president doesn't think we're smart enough to figure out, the cost of steel, the cost of other building products have skyrocketed. Well, there are school districts all over the state, including mine, who are looking at doing major school renovation projects and now have, in many cases, some of them have gotten approval from taxpayers and now found their costs, if they get into the market the next 3 or 4 months, have gone up 30-40% over what they thought.
Yeah.
This is what inflation does. And I don't, yeah. I think you're a little younger than me, but if you're under the age of 62, most people have no clue what inflation was really about. They don't understand.
No, I remember
it.
Jimmy Carter well, and it was horrible. And the fact that this administration came in smug over the whole. I remember Janet Yellen saying, "Oh, we have the tools to deal with inflation." Well, you might have the tools, and they might take 20 years to deal with inflation.
Well, inflation is the great destroyer of wealth for middle class, especially for the lower middle class. The truly wealthy don't worry about these things, but the rest of us have to, and its perniciousness and what it does to everything is really, if you haven't lived it, and most people haven't, I think there's going to be a real awakening about that, because it affects not just your consumer goods, but things like school construction, and that affects local property taxes to make up for it. And someone whoever's running needs to address how we're going to get there. And so all these interchangeable parts will make for, I think, a very entertaining election year. But for those who have wanted to get into the issue of education reform, and in my case, at least from the Catholic school perspective, you know, giving people, you know, the ability to take their tax dollars and find a place to educate their child, no matter what the construct, is something that we're well past waiting for. I think it's a critical time to do it. It'll be good competition for everybody. It'll make our public schools stronger. It'll create a level of accountability and achievement that we really need. And, you know, people that don't have kids or their kids are gone, they say, well, it's not my fight anymore. Well, it is, because it's centrifugal to the future of our culture and our civilization and our society to have.
This is our biggest crisis, I think. We've absolutely got to turn this around. Chris, we've got to wrap it up. Chris Healy, Weathersfield Board of Ed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Great to talk with Chris Healy once again. 860-522-9842.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
It's WTIC. Happily here with you, 860-522-9842. Steve calling from Springfield. What's up, Steve?
Hi, Todd. That was a great topic that you were bringing about the schools and the crisis. But the thing is, it goes a lot deeper than that. I mean, they attack things like meritocracy, you know, the whole idea of getting good grades and good scores. And I swear, most of the things that I hear that the left are doing are designed to dumb down the students of America. It probably makes them easier to radicalize and mobilize.
You know, between the two things, though, between the radicalization, the indoctrination that goes on for anti-American politics, and the lack of education that comes from having a one-size-fits-all union-controlled system, I would solve the union controlled system first. Now, of course, there's overlap between the two things, but we are going to be ruined as a country if we can't have a fast adjusting, very nimble education system that provides lots of schools with lots of differences to provide unique education to kids of all different interests. And if we stick with these big old dumbed down schools, with the idea that we're going to be giving people diplomas just for breathing their way through a year and through enough of those years, that's a tragedy that we're not going to survive, because the world's become too competitive.
Yeah, I actually ran into a young kid who was in a liberal town. I swear he couldn't have been more than 14 or 16 years old. The kid was really steeped in the doctrine of Nietzsche, and he really believed that in order for people to solve their problems, society needs to change. Absolutely no concept of individual responsibility. You know, in other words, the reason people are criminals is because society is mean and unfair. And he was really, really steeped really deep in the philosophical aspects of this stuff. And this kid was only 14 or 16 years old.
That's pretty cool. And where did he pick that up?
From school, all the stuff he learns in school. I mean, he was a huge follower of Nietzsche.
Well, that's good. Sorry, I've got to hold you right there, Steve, because I want to get Tim in. Hey there, Tim.
Hi. So, Mr. Healy, a long time
Republican as state chair and everything, is on the public school board of education for Wethersfield. But he's also a lobbyist for the parochial schools, the Roman Catholic people. So he's advocating on the one hand that, you know, people should have a choice and take their money out of the system. And essentially, isn't that kind of essentially a conflict of interest?
Not as bad as the conflict on the other side, but I suppose you could say it's a conflict of interest. Well, we're fighting against a system that is built on conflict of interest.
And then, you know, I have a lot of friends who are teachers in the Wethersfield system. You know, they just absolutely laugh at the idea that they're teaching critical race theory. So if he's on the Board of Education, can he point out specific places in Wethersfield schools where they're teaching critical race theory? I don't think so. I think it's a great
I think everybody's teaching it, whether they're aware of it or not. It depends. I think what you're getting down into, Tim, is what is the semantics of it. What does it mean, critical race theory? What do you think of as the definition of critical race theory?
Yeah, exactly. And that's just this, you know, incredible moving target. If you're talking about some sort of equity and that sort of stuff, or race history, that sort of thing, that's one thing. You know, history and everything like that. But this, you know, idea that they're teaching some sort of communist idea to destroy schools is just garbage. It's not in the Wethersfield school system.
Well, I think that's, I want to play a cut for you. Listen to this, because I think this nails it down exactly what this debate is that you're quoting.
It is, in fact, false that, you know, your fourth grader is going into class and having an hour a day between their grammar and their math lesson where it's like, okay, now it's CRT time. Everybody open up your like Derek Bell textbook and we're going to learn about that today. Like, that does not happen. But what does happen, and I think that liberals who support this should accept it and explain it thoroughly and advocate for it if they think it is a good thing, which many of them do, is that those ideas are incredibly influential in the world of, you know, the professional class world that creates public school curriculum.
So it's worse than it being something that's taught. It's something that is infused into the very bones of public education, this contempt for whiteness, this contempt for America, that are the underpinnings of critical race theory.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.